Praise the Lord. Welcome again to Watchman School of Prayer. Hallelujah. And tonight, this is class number 9, and this is Ministry of Intercession. The Ministry of Intercession. Amen? Okay. What we want to start with, though, first is we want to start with the theme of Watchman School of Prayer, and we're all going to say it together, and it's Jeremiah 51:12. You don't know it still. It's on here on the blackboard. So let's just say it together. 1, 2, 3, go. Set up the standard upon the walls of Babylon. Make the watch strong. Set up the watchmen. Prepare the ambushes. Hallelujah. And everybody that's in here and everyone that's out there watching on video or by audio, you are watchmen. And the more that you press into this, the more you will understand how you really are watchmen. As I was preparing today for class, I began to hear these fire engines and sirens, and we have a public school right near where we live, and I didn't know what was going on, but immediately out of my spirit, I began to pray. Now, what happens is, as you get more in tune, you'll begin to be able to do that. I didn't know what was going on, but I pled the blood of Jesus. I prayed for protection, and I bound up assignments of the enemy and stuff like this. So this is a daily, being a watchman is a daily thing. You don't know at a moment's notice when you're going to be called to have to pray. I mean, it's probably one of the highest honors to be able to be a watchman for the Lord. Because your prayers can affect someone's life or death. And this is something we have to acknowledge and understand how important it is what we are doing in the realm of the Spirit. Now tonight, again, I'm talking on the ministry of intercession, so we're going deeper into the realm of prayer. And first, I want to talk to you about what is intercession. What is intercession? And I'm going to give you two definitions. The first one is out of Webster's, and it means to intervene, to get in the way. I like that one. To come or lie, especially in time or space. In other words, you're coming in between something. To act between parties with a view to reconciling differences. Boy, do we need that in the Middle East, don't we? To plead or beg in behalf of another. To plead or beg on behalf of another. Now, the Vines definition, the Vines actually is a specific dictionary that is Bible-oriented only. It's a very good study dictionary. And they have intercession as a verb. Now, how many of you know a verb is an action? You learn that in English. And an action means you've got to do something, right? So that means intercession, you're doing something. And it said in the Vines, to make petition, plead either for or against. To make petition or plead either for or against, pleading with God, interceding on behalf of another. You might be coming against the enemy, demon powers, when you do the intercession. Many times we're going to do that. Now, one thing we've got to understand, and I've said this and I'll say this many times, prayer or intercession, which we're talking about tonight, does not change God. This does not change God. God never changes. Amen? Prayer and intercession changes you and me, and it changes the circumstances. Prayer and intercession only changes the other people or the circumstances. It's not going to change God. Amen? You know, His word is sealed with yea and amen, and we know what it is. And what He says is the way it is. Now, in order to be a strong intercessor, you have to give up of yourself. So if you're an intercessor, you have to literally have no selfishness in you. It's like Jesus said, not my will, your will. It's a losing of one's self life. Amen? Selfishness cannot intercede. Selfishness cannot intercede. And I pray those of you that are watching and listening that you're not selfish. Obviously, if you're watching and listening, you mustn't be selfish because you're interested. Amen? Now, an intercessor possesses the heart of God, possesses God's love, and possesses God's compassion. Intercession is an application of spiritual force by the Holy Spirit. And it's for someone else or for a situation. Now that force, that intercession force, that spiritual force, will overpower the evil spiritual forces that may have a person bound or that could have a situation bound. Now it may not happen overnight. It may not happen the minute you pray. Oh, it's going to happen. No, things don't happen. We're not microwave. This is not a microwave prayer life. You know, we have to stand fast. And you know, when you've ever done everything you can stand, we stand there for and we believe God. And intercession is used to bring forth spiritual birth. Now, I have given a handout to some of the students that are here in the class. And if you are watching or you are in Watchman School of Prayer Correspondence School, we have some people like that. You will have your sheets, your handout sheets with you. I'm going to read just a little bit about it, what's on the sheet. And it talks about what is an intercessor. So if you have your handout sheet, you can look at it. And I'm just going to go over some points. What is an intercessor? Well, first thing it says is an intercessor is one who takes the place of another. We just shared that. And it gives a scripture reference. We're not going to go there. You can look that all up. And if you are here in the class or you're taking correspondence, you should be looking all these scriptures up during the week. Isaiah 59:16. An intercessor is also a gatekeeper to keep the enemies out. Genesis 24:60. An intercessor is one who stands in the gap. Ezekiel 22:30. An intercessor is someone who makes up the hedge. Ezekiel 13:5. Some of these we're going to look at a little bit later on. An intercessor is a watchman. Of course, this is Watchman School of Prayer, so we have many intercessors and watchmen here. Amen? Isaiah 62:6. One of my favorite scriptures, we're going to look intensely at this tonight, which has to do with Israel. But you are a watchman for all things. An intercessor is a doorkeeper, one who travails with laboring. 1 Thessalonians 2:9. We will be discussing travail in a very intense session coming up in advanced intercession. An intercessor is a director, somebody who directs, one who directs the body of Messiah, the body of the anointed one, the body of Christ. And we have Romans 8:27. And Ephesians 6:18. And you say, well, how could you be directing the body of Christ? Well, believe it or not, many times, because things are not going right, there's usually just a small percentage. I mean, you know, there's such a small percentage of people that are prayer people. I mean, we know in the body right now that if they have a prayer meeting in some kind of a church or congregation, I mean, they may have 1,000 people in the congregation and 50 show up for prayer. Now that's really the church, okay? And if that's you watching, you're the church. Now if you don't show up, you need to show up. And what happens is people just think that prayer is on the lowest part of, you know, the walk with the Lord. And actually prayer is the highest, which we're learning. So it's very important that we understand that. And as you see here, we say the one who directs the body, well, it could be a person who actually... or people, a number of people, who help that congregation, that ministry, to fulfill the call of God that's on it. It helps to push in the vision. Without that, it cannot happen. Now, it's the same thing in a family. As you begin to intercede for your family, if you don't intercede, nothing is going to change. If you believe, if you're, for instance, you may have a husband or a wife that's not saved, you may be watching or listening, you may have a mother or a father. I know some instances, even here, in those that are taking the school, if the mother is not serving God or a dad is not serving God, your prayers can change their life. You see, it says in the book of Psalms that God looks for one a solitaire to stand in the gap. So your prayers are the director over people's lives. Now, you can't change somebody's will, okay? If somebody doesn't want to serve God and they will never want to serve God, you can't, no matter how much you pray, it's not going to change. But most of the time, as we're going to be studying in these sessions here, in these classes, you will find out that there are demonic powers that are influencing those people and stopping the will of God from happening in their life. And you could be the key to change that. It also says that an intercessor is a conductor who conducts the world affairs. 1 Timothy 2, 1 and 2. And we're going to look at that scripture in a little while. And it is true. It is up to us as believers to pray for our government. If we have the wrong people in authority in your towns, in your government, or wherever you are in your school system, it's your own fault. Because you're not praying. God has given us the authority, and therefore we have the authority, and to take that authority in the name of Yeshua to make changes that will take place right where we live or in our nation. Hallelujah. Now, I'm going to drop down in this pamphlet here to the ministry of intercession, and I want you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm reading out of the King James. And in verse 28, it says, "And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues," or kinds of tongues. Now, in your pamphlet it says, I'm just going to read this, "Some may ask, what is the ministry of intercession?" And it comes right here in this scripture under the ministry of helps listed in 1 Corinthians 12, 28. So right there, you see how important it is and how it's involved in the ministry of helps. Amen? It also has the diversity of tongues is for the ministry and intercession. And we will be discussing the diversity of tongues in the future classes at length. Because there is different types of sounds and tongues. And there are giftings. And it comes involved here in how God has set certain things in the church. Now, right in your pamphlet in the middle of the page or a little further down, I'm not going to read the rest of it. We've done much of this already and you can read it at your leisure at home. But it says, all believers should be intercessors. Some are called into the ministry of deeper intercession and travail. It is a great responsibility and it takes dedication and time. You must give all of yourself to God, spirit, soul, and body to be a mighty intercessor. Amen? Okay, let's go to Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And we're going to talk about Yeshua, about Jesus. He is the most mightiest intercessor that there is. Amen? Isaiah 53, and we're going to look at verse 11 and 12. Now, this is a prophecy of Messiah Yeshua who makes intercession for the world, for sinners, for all of us. "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities," their sins. "Therefore will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul into death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bore the sin of many," and here it is, "and made intercession for the transgressors." So, Yeshua himself was an intercessor and is an intercessor today. He made intercession for you and me. If you're watching, he made intercession for you that you might be saved. And he's still making intercession. And if you're not saved, I believe, God, that you're going to get saved. Amen. Right now, just ask Yeshua in your heart. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 56 and in verse... Hallelujah. Isaiah 56 I don't think I have the right scripture, but let me see what I've got here. Maybe it's 58. Hold on, we'll find it. Thank you, Lord. Okay, let's look at verse 7 in chapter 56. And in the second part of the verse, it says, "My house shall be called a house of prayer for all people." That means every place of worship should be a house of prayer. In Hebrew, it's Bet Tefillah, a house of prayer, which we have actually on a stone right outside here in our building. It's called House of Prayer for all nations, all people. Because this is the place where we can make intercession, and God has opened it up so that we can cry out, whether it's for this particular area, whether it's for a nation, or wherever else. Now, you are a house of God also. You carry the house of God. So you, as an individual, are the house that can make intercession whenever and wherever. Amen? Now, Yeshua is the intercessor between God and man. And let's look at 1 Timothy 2:5. First Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 5, it says here, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus," the man, the anointed one, Yeshua, Messiah Yeshua. Right here it tells you there is only one mediator, and we learned this already before, between God and man, that's Yeshua. He rent the veil. And it's the same today. It hasn't changed. Let's look at Romans 8, 34. Romans 8 and verse 34. It says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ," or the anointed one and his anointing, the Messiah that died, rather, that is risen again, "who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us." He is making intercession for us. That should be exciting for you to know that he is sitting at the right hand of the Father and he is making intercession for you and for me. He is still doing that. Amen? Look at 1 John chapter 2. We're looking at Yeshua right now, the intercessor between God and man. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. And if I'm going too fast, just write the scriptures down and look them up when you get home. Amen? And those that are listening by tape, just write them down. 1 John chapter 2, 1. "My little children, these things I write unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate," it's a lawyer, that's what it means, "with the Father, Jesus, the anointed one and his anointing, the righteous." So here it is. We see Jesus again. He is our lawyer, the one that comes in between. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. This is a powerful scripture revealing the same things. We are solidifying the fact of Yeshua, Jesus, being an intercessor. Amen? Now, aren't we supposed to be like him?
Yes.
So then we're supposed to be intercessors too. That's why everyone is called to be an intercessor. The thing is, it takes work. Most people don't want to work. They want to just take a break all the time. Let's take a half hour here and an hour there. Intercession takes work. Amen? Amen. Hebrews 7 and in verse 25. "Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them." Yeshua, Jesus, he ever lives to make intercession for us. Amen? I think that's a powerful thing. And if you realize, remember that Jesus said, Yeshua said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by" who? "By me," he said. You can't get to the Father unless it's through Yeshua. There is no other way. And he is making intercession for us to get there. For those that aren't there, he is interceding and he's looking for you and you and you and you to stand in the gap for the lost, for those that are in bondage, for you to intercede on his behalf. He's up in the heavenlies, okay? He's the head. We're the body, right? Yes. Now, without a body and a head, you can't walk around, correct? It'd be pretty funny right now if I was standing here with just a body and no head, or just a head and no body. It wouldn't work, would it?
No.
I don't think so. So, you have to understand that Yeshua has given us a mandate. He's given you a mandate. Finish the work till I come back. He told us to keep laboring, you know, to occupy till I come back. Occupy means to work. And intercession is one of the key things. Because before you can go to do something or possess something or go out and save souls, you need to be intercessing or praying for them. Because otherwise you're going to go prematurely and you're going to go and not get good results. Amen? And that's something we must understand. And we're going to see that tonight in the classes. Everything is led by the Spirit, right? Everything is led by the Spirit. So if God doesn't tell you to go someplace, don't go. May not be the timing. Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4 and in verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is not salvation by any other name than the name of Yeshua. Let's say it. Yeshua. Jesus. That's right. Yeshua is his Hebrew name. That's the name he was called by. Amen?
Amen.
John 16, and we already know these scriptures, but we should look at them again. John 16, talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus, Yeshua, is speaking here to his disciples. And in verse 13, he says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. We are talking about the Holy Spirit. That when Yeshua left, the Holy Spirit came, and the Holy Spirit now lives within us, those of us that are saved, that know the Lord, that are born again. Amen?
Amen.
Now let's go to Romans 8, and this is a key scripture, and this is going to be a memorization scripture, okay? So Romans 8 and in verse 26, and I'm going to write this on the blackboard, Romans 8, 26. You need to memorize this scripture because this is very key. We're going to study this scripture in depth in the coming weeks when we have some other intercession classes. But we're going to read this now. Romans 8:26. In fact, let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, read. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. All right, let me correct some things already here. First of all, if it says in your Bible, but the Spirit itself, it should be himself. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's not an it. That is a misdirected way of translation here. All right? Now it says the Spirit also helps our infirmities. The word infirmities means weaknesses. You want to write that down. Helps our weakness. How many of you have weakness? Amen? You got weakness out there too, and you're listening on the tape. We got weakness. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit to help our weakness. Could be a sickness, or just could be a weakness. Amen? It says, he helps our weakness, our infirmities, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Many times you don't know how to pray about a situation. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The word groanings here is agonizing longings which do not have words in your native language. Agonizing longings that do not have words. I'm going to be saying this again later on in depth, but I'm saying it to you now. In your native language. Did you speak Spanish in your native language? The Holy Spirit is not going to speak in Spanish. If it's English, it's not English. If it's Dutch, it's not Dutch. Nederland, whatever you're watching, and it is. But it is a sound. Many times it's just a groan. We're going to study on this in depth. Or it's tongues. Many, many times it's the tongues, all right? And it what it means also is gushings of the heart. Gushings of the heart. Now, how is this possible? Well, this is what happens. And you want to just watch me and listen right now because you need to hear what I'm going to say. The Holy Spirit, let's say this is me, my hand, and this is the Holy Spirit. And he's already living inside of me. But just to give you an example is the Holy Spirit hooks with my spirit like this, all right? Hooks together or takes hold with me to pray. And whether it's to stand in faith for someone or to come against the devil, the Holy Spirit hooks together with my spirit and begins to pray. And that's what's called yielding to the Spirit of God. And an intercessor, in order to be a very, very deep intercessor, you have to yield your spirit with the Spirit of God. And then the Spirit of God, as you learn and as you grow in it, will begin to show you, well, now you need to war. Now you need to weep. And that's completely being yielded to the Spirit of God. It means walking with the Spirit of God. And that just doesn't happen. Because if you're not walking with the Spirit of God on a daily basis, if you're not, you know, walking with the Lord and fellowshipping with Him regularly, you can't just all of a sudden begin to think you can become an intercessor. It isn't going to happen. That's why we had all those basic classes talking about how important it is to fellowship with the Lord all the time. So as God moves you into the deeper things of the Spirit, your spirit then begins to yield to it. You're sensitive. In other words, your ear, your senses shut down in the natural and they become sensitive in the spirit realm. And that is how it works with everything, whether it's praise and worship, whether, and I know we're going to be getting into this, the dance, the flags. It has to do with a sensitivity to the Lord and to what the Spirit of God is saying to do moment by moment by moment. Amen? And it's a very exciting walk to walk like this. Because what happens is you literally are a funnel. You are there is a word for it. You are a funnel. You're the thing that it's like a conductor. You're the conductor, you know, it's a conductor type of thing. God is using you to do His work on the earth. Think about this a minute. How exciting this is. I mean, people come to church or come to synagogue, go to ministry and think, oh, it's so boring. It is so far from boring, you have no idea. You have more power in you and in you that's watching and listening than you have any idea of if you're born again and know the Lord. Literally, you, one person, can begin to pray and change a nation. A wonderful book to read, there's many of them, but one I would, if you ever have read about Rees Howe's intercessor, he's no longer alive, was a man of God. This man, Rees Howe, changed the nation of Africa because of his praying. One man. That's right. So if you think, oh, well, who am I? If you're watching and you're listening, who am I? I'm nothing. That is a lie of the devil from the pit of hell. You have great potential to do much for God. And you must begin to realize that. That's why the devil hates prayer. He will do anything he can to stop prayer. Why? He's afraid of it. Because when you start to pray, something's going to happen. Amen? Amen. Okay, now, the Holy Spirit, you have to understand, will not do your praying for you. Okay? He's not going to do your praying for you. You are going to be able to pray with the Holy Spirit's ability. Because the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. But he isn't going to do it for you. He will help you do it. You have a body. You have to yield your members to the Spirit of God. Amen? Now, our intercession is mainly to break, usually our intercession is usually to mainly break the bondage that the devil has over mankind. And you must be aware of it. That is the reason that God gave me that scripture, you know, in Jeremiah 51:12. And most of the time, the body of Messiah, body of Christ, never teaches on the devil. And that is so ridiculous. If you don't know your enemy's tactics, how can you defeat him? I mean, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And so people are afraid to teach on the devil. Well, I ain't. I love teaching on him. I'll tell you why. Because he's defeated. He's under my feet. And remember, you will never fight devils in the heavenlies. So you have to learn to love to fight devils right here. Hallelujah. I like to fight devils. Amen? Yeah. You got to learn to love it. And you will. Believe me. As you get stronger, you will learn to love it. Amen? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, let me get through all what I have here for this class tonight. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Important verses for you to know. You don't have to memorize it, but you just need to know this. But if our gospel be hid, gospel is the good news of Yeshua, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of the anointed one of his anointing, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Very clear. Spiritual blindness. People that are unsaved, aren't serving God, they are blinded by who? The God of this world. And the God of this world is the devil. And we must understand that. And we, our intercession is to break the bondage of that off of them. That's why we intercede. That's why we must get strong. That's why when you pray in tongues, you must get strong and bold. Listen, no devil is going to run by, oh, praise you, God. Oh, yes. No, that's weakness. When you begin to come against the devil, there's a difference in prayer when you're praising God and you're praying in tongues to God and I begin to worship God. I love you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. Shondarabakariande, praise you, hallelujah, Lord. And I'm coming against the enemy. I bind you, devil. You get off of my brother or sister. Shondarabakete. You have to use the force and you open your eyes and you don't close. Because why? You're afraid of looking? That's another fallacy. Close your eyes when you pray. No. The eye gate is the most important area. That's where sight, spiritual sight comes in. All right? I mean, if you're driving your car, you don't close your eyes. You have to look where you're going. Well, you're driving a car. It's inside of you. It's a Holy Spirit car. Amen? Yeah. In a Holy Spirit car, man, I'm driving you. Which way you want to go now? This way? This way? Where am I going, Holy Spirit? Well, if I don't have my eyes open, how can I drive the Holy Spirit car? Now, there is a time to close your eyes and pray to God. But I tell you right now, when you're fighting the devil, you better not close your eyes. You keep them eyes open. You too out there. Amen? Okay. Now, we know where to use fervent prayer. And we're to pray with fervency, desire. You use every fiber of your being when you pray, not in weakness. And we've read this before, but let's look at it again. We studied it in the last couple of classes. In James chapter 5, James chapter 5 and in verse 16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. And this is the last half is what I'm talking about of the scripture in this particular instance. I'm referring to it. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we know the word fervent means white, hot, earnest, boiling over. Okay? That's the kind of prayer you want to have. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Colossians chapter 4. Now we're looking and going to look a little bit at Paul and the way he prayed. Now Paul, we know, actually his name is Saul, was a powerful man of God and a Jew. And he was raised as an Orthodox Jew. And man, he prayed strong, okay? And in Colossians chapter 4 and in verse 12, he says here, Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of the Anointed One, the Messiah, salutes you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Now, we must understand this book, Colossians, is written to the Colossian church, okay? And he is saying right here that you need to be praying or laboring. The word laboring here means striving or wrestling. Then that's not a little mealy mouse prayer. Everybody see wrestlers? Striving or wrestling. That means they were always striving, wrestling fervently for these particular people in prayer so that they would stand perfect and complete in the will of God. Let's go to Galatians 4. Now he's speaking to the Galatian church. If we're looking at these epistles, you have to understand that Paul was writing letters to the churches. These are actual letters. It's as if you were writing a letter to somebody. Galatians chapter 4 and in verse 19. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ, or until the Anointed One and His anointing. Remember, the word Christ means Anointed One and His anointing. You want to write that in. Till the anointing is going to be formed in you. Now, the travailing prayer is a very deep kind of prayer that we will be studying in the future. And obviously, he already prayed for them at one time, and now he's praying for them again. Strong prayer, so that the anointing will grow stronger in them. Now, something that you need to understand, when someone comes to your remembrance, and it might not be somebody that you've heard about or thought of in quite a while, but when somebody comes to your remembrance, perhaps, or I don't even say perhaps, what I'm going to say to you is, most of the time, if you get a thought and it's kind of dumb, I mean, but if it's somebody, you know, that you haven't seen in a while, and you wonder why you've thought of thinking about that person, okay? I would say most of the time the Holy Spirit is trying to tell you to pray for them. You probably don't know what's going on, so you need to pray for them. And so you pray the will of God, you plead the blood of Jesus over them, and then you begin to pray in tongues. It may only last a short time. But my suggestion is you need to pray because the Holy Spirit's putting them on your heart. And many times, you can save a person's life. They could be in another state, in another country. And this happened to me recently. There was a gentleman, a pastor, that I had not seen in many years in Germany. I haven't been to his church in many years. And I don't know, all of a sudden, I began to get his name, Gunter. And I'm thinking about this man. And I began to pray in tongues and plead the blood over Gunter and start praying for him. And I had no idea. Well, about a week later, I said, you know, I'm going to call Gunter. And I called him on the phone, and right when I was praying, where do you think he was? He was in Jerusalem, and he was right where one of these bus blow-ups, he was right there on the block where this bus blew up, and I was praying for Gunter. Well, maybe had I not prayed, he might have been in the blow-up. So you must be real sensitive and keen in this. So when the Holy Spirit puts this person or people or circumstance on your heart, pray for them. It's very important. And that's how you build up your prayer muscles. Now, I want to read this scripture to you out of the Amplified. So if you don't have an Amplified, write it down. And I want you to, actually, I think you should memorize it. And maybe memorize it in your King James. Let's make it a memory verse. Proverbs 10:17. This was a memory verse for me in Bible school. Proverbs 10:17. Actually, it was a way of life. And we got this drained into us, okay? Proverbs 10:17. It says, he who heeds instruction and correction is not only himself in the way of life, but also is a way of life for others. And he who neglects or refuses reproof, that's correction, not only himself goes astray, but also causes to err and is a path toward ruin for others. Now this is a key scripture. If we do not heed instruction and correction from the Lord and from those that are God has put over us as leadership, all right? It says here that when you neglect that, you go astray and you begin to cause others to go astray. And this has a lot to do even with prayer. When you don't begin to yield yourself to prayer, you're going to cause yourself to err and others will go astray maybe because you didn't pray. Because God happened to put them on your heart. Amen? Now, we're going to look a little bit more at some of the things that Paul, he did for all these different churches that he wrote letters to. Go to the book of Romans. Now remember, everything that we pray, everything that we do, is born out of relationship with the Lord. You cannot do it without relationship. Religion isn't going to cut it. That's only dead works. It must come out of relationship. Romans chapter 1, and these are different prayers that you're going to see Paul speaking, as we already looked at some, we'll look at a few more, to the different places that he went and the people. 8 and 9, first I thank my God through Jesus the anointed one, his anointing, the Messiah, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. So he was always praying for these people. It always was in his prayers. Now we already looked at the Galatian church and when he said, I travail in birth again until Christ is formed in you again. Let's look at the Ephesian church. Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1. This is in the town of Ephesus. Ephesians chapter 1. This is actually one of my favorite books. Because this really talks about the Jew and the Gentile becoming one new man. There's great revelation in this book. And much hasn't come out yet. And I believe God is going to bring it to the forefront. Ephesians chapter 1. And in verse 16, Paul is saying, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. Well, he's talking to the people. I give thanks for you. I make mention of you in my prayers. And then, I'm not going to read this, but verses 17 to 23 are very powerful prayers. I mentioned this before, where you can put people's names in it. People that are not saved. Whoever you're praying for that's not saved, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife, your mother. You know, here's an example of how you do it. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Mary the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, that the eyes of Mary's understanding. You see, you put the person's name in. You are praying prayers for these people. And you can do the same thing in Ephesians chapter 3, if you're taking notes, in verses 14 to 21, where it says you put the person's name in there. Let's look at Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And this verse 9 to 11. Paul is speaking now to the Philippians, all right? Philippi. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, and that you may approve things that are excellent. He's praying how they're going to walk with the Lord, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, the Anointed One, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. He's praying to get filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus, the Anointed One, unto the glory and praise of God. This is a prayer for people. You find many of these throughout the scriptures. I'm just giving you some examples of them. Colossians, let's go to the Colossian church. Colossians chapter 1, it's a book right after Philippians. Colossians 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, praying always for you. He's praying. Yeah, this man, listen, I don't know how he did it, but he prayed for all these places. Pray without ceasing. Just start walking. He prayed for this church. Pray for this church. Pray for this. He was just a walking prayer person, you know. You learn a lot from him. Verses 9 in Colossians 1. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You can pray for people. Put their name in that. That you, or Mary, might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. I'm not going to go any further. But he's praying all these things for them. Gee, I think it's great if... Pray for me all these things. I'll take it any day, okay? I mean, it's great. Now, look at chapter 2. And this is important that you see what I'm going to share with you right now in chapter 2. In verse 1, he says, For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, that's another church, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, of the Father, and of the Anointed One, the Messiah. Now, the word conflict, he says, if you only knew the kind of conflict, you know, there's kind of a Jewish kind of expression, tsuris. If you only knew the tsuris I had. it's a word that describes what this Greek word means. This Greek word is called agon or agon, A-G-O-N. Did you ever hear the word agonize? That's where we get the word agonize in English, from A-G-O-N, agon, conflict. And this is what it means. A contest of athletes, a combat, a struggling fight. It also means a contest against spiritual forces, human adversities, and to strive. I'll just say it again. Conflict means a contest of athletes, a combat, a struggling fight, a contest against spiritual forces, human adversities, and to strive. Now, wouldn't you think that this is pretty hot type of prayer? Obviously, this was pretty hot kind of prayer. Amen? Now, in Romans... And I believe we're going to look at the Colossian church a little further later on, but let's look at Romans 9. I'm going to talk to you more about this in depth as we go into some other sessions. Paul did a tremendous amount of intercession for the Jewish people and for Israel. If anybody tells you, if you're watching by video or by audio, that Paul converted or didn't pray for his Jewish brethren, that's a lie. You need to read Romans 9, 10, 11, and you need to really study it. If you want to learn about what really is the truth, Romans 9, 10, and 11 is the key scripture about the truth about the Jewish people and how God has not forsaken them. Now in Romans chapter 9, Paul is speaking to Gentiles. It would be like me, who's Jewish, speaking to you. Almost all of you in here are Gentiles, and maybe those of you watching are Gentiles. And it would be like me as a Messianic Jew, a Jew that believes in Yeshua, speaking to you. This is what Paul is doing. He's speaking to the Romans, the Roman church. He's speaking to the Gentiles. And he's saying in verse 1, I say the truth in Christ. I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ, from the Anointed One, from my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Do you realize what he is saying? He is saying, I will give up my salvation for the fact of my Jewish people coming to the knowledge of the Messiah, Yeshua. Would you or I give up our salvation? I don't think so. But he was so into the will of God and so yielded to the will of God that he was willing to give up his salvation, go to hell, if his brethren would come to the knowledge of Yeshua. That only came about by tremendous intercession that he did all the time for Israel and the Jewish people. There is a war going on for individuals. There's a war going on for Israel. There's a war going on for your family members. And we must cry out to God as the intercessors. Amen? Now, let me see here where I'm going, because we don't have... Let's see which parts God wants me to give you. All right, just briefly go to 1 Thessalonians. Now, many times Paul also prayed and gave thanks. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Now let's go to chapter 3. Chapter 3 and in verse 10. He said, night and day, praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. He prayed for the Thessalonians. Now I'm going to give you some scripture that you can look up on your own. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. No, I'm skipping around. This is on Thanksgiving, verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. And in this, Paul was giving thanks for the people. Many times what you should do is give thanks for people that you know. Praise God for them. Amen? 2 Timothy 1 3. Just write this down. Paul was speaking to his son, Timothy. That was one of his spiritual sons. He said, I give thanks for you, remembering you night and day in prayer. One of his spiritual sons. Now, as an intercessor, you do not carry the care of the problems. And we'll go into that a little more in the next class. Because it says, 1 Peter 4, 7, you cast your care upon the Lord, right? And Jesus said, my burden is light, my yoke is easy. You stay in the Spirit. You pray, and then when you finish praying, you let it go. You don't walk around with a heavy weight. If you're doing that, then that's not praying in the Spirit. That's praying out of your own mercy gift, and you're getting pulled into an emotional area, and it's not God. Amen? You have to watch that. Now, as we just end here in a few minutes, I want to just give you these three areas, which is called three unique or three characteristics of an intercessor. Three characteristics of an intercessor. Okay, number one is identification. The intercessor has identification with the need. You identify with God and His plan for the situation. Number two, you have compassion. And number two comes out of identification. In other words, you identify with the need, so now you have compassion for the need. And you're led by the Holy Spirit, takes you as an intercessor. You take upon yourself the distress or the problems of the situation or the person. You perceive it in the Spirit, just like Paul did for the Colossian church. He said, I'm in conflict, you know, for his Jewish brethren. But then you let it go. You follow me after you pray it through. Number three is authority. When we allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse and remove things in our lives, we stand on a platform in the anointing where the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, carries weight. Now this is very crucial. If you're not walking in holiness to the best of your ability, when you begin to use the name of Jesus, nothing will happen. You cannot command devils to go if you're not walking in righteousness as far as you know. You follow me? You can't say, be healed to somebody if you're not walking. Now, don't be afraid to say that. Now, don't go in the other direction either. But what I'm saying is identification, compassion, and authority. Those are three qualities Three positions or characteristics of an intercessor that you must possess in that order: identification, compassion, and authority. And all three qualities are based on a personal, intimate relationship with the Lord. It cannot come any other way. Amen? So, that concludes our class for now. And I believe God's making you into a powerful intercessor. Hallelujah.